man, the surprise presidency of George Bush. David Froom, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, what are you expecting from the president's speech tonight?
I think we're going to see a pretty somber speech tonight. This is a heavy thing the president has to tell the nation about, that there's going to be a deadline. It'll be short. Nobody expects Saddam Hussein to take it up. That means there is going to be war, that we've been engaged in war continuously since September 11th, but there have been a lot of moments where the war went quiet. Now the war is about to get hot and dangerous.
You mentioned the importance of him appearing somber. We've been running this video that obviously the president, staged of him playing with his dogs, obviously in front of the reporters. The message that he's trying to convey clearly is one of I'm comfortable with this decision. It's a moral certitude, which some people find very reassuring, but other people find it disconcerting. They would like to see more hand-wringing on the part of the president. Is this the right signal to be sending? Here he is, playing with his dogs today.
You know, I don't know how anybody can say there has not been enough uncertainty about this decision and there has not been enough delay. Mm-hmm. This is a decision that has been 12 years in the making. You know, one of the questions that people ask is, when else could the president have given this speech? This speech could have been given in 1993 when Iraq was caught trying to murder the first President Bush. It could have been given in 1994 when it massed troops on the Kuwaiti border to try another invasion. And again in 96 when it overran the Kurdish safe areas despite its promises not to. And again in 98 when it drove the inspectors out of its country. There have been many, many moments in the past when this speech demanded almost to be given. Mm-hmm. Now, at last is the time. We have been waiting for a very, very long time.
Okay, now President Bush is obviously addressing the nation, but clearly his speech will be seen around the world. Two slightly different messages, the one he would want to give to Americans and the message that he's trying to send to residents around the entire globe. Which audience do you believe he's focusing on as he writes this speech?
Well, he's the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. You have to focus on the home audience. But you have to be careful. I mean, it is something of a challenge for this president that many of the things that he says and does resonate most with Americans do not resonate so well abroad. I mean, Americans are people who appreciate the strong language of right and wrong. Some of our friends get a little nervous with that kind of language. He has to, I think, remember them, but while also remembering his main responsibility here. He has to, and I hope what he will do is, one, pay generous tribute to the people who are going with the United States, mm-hmm. Not just the British, but also the Australians and the Spaniards and the Portuguese, none of whom should be forgotten, and many others as well. And he needs also, I think, to affirm, not only did he get a vote from both houses of the U.S. Congress, both on Iraq and on the War of Terror, in October of 2001, but also how much effort he has put into this multilateral process, how much of a chance he gave to diplomacy. I'm confident he'll say all of those things.
And also the fact that Resolution 1441, the last resolution on Iraq, was passed unanimously by the UN Security Council, so there was a support at that point from everyone, including France.
Right. Well, I don't think the president is going to be able to say that, it now looks like the French were behaving with incredible bad faith. That's not the kind of thing presidents say.
Right.
But there may be an inference to be drawn.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's talk of him possibly putting out an actual deadline to his ultimatum tonight, saying, here's the date, here's the time. We also understand that some of his aides are arguing strongly against him putting such a deadline on. Yeah. Militarily, it might not be a great idea to convey exactly when that deadline is and for other reasons. You think he's going to scratch that?
I have no idea, but it does kind of, remember from the first Gulf War, that Saturday Night Live sketch where there's this press conference with reporters saying, what one thing can you tell us that will be most useful to the Iraqis? Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about giving the other guy a sporting chance. We're not only telling them the month and the day, but they now are people are saying, we should tell Saddam Hussein the hour the war gets. That way he'll be good and ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that what we're hearing from some military advisors is that this is a display of the ultimate confidence that it doesn't even matter if they know when we're coming because there's nothing they can do about it anyway.
Well, in seriousness, actually, there's one great advantage you get from telling them the time. If we believe, and I think many military observers do, that this army of Saddam's is about to dissolve, and if we also know the penalty for desertion in Iraq is having your ear cut off or your arm cut off, mm-hmm. that Saddam soldiers want to know, when are you coming? Because it's dangerous to desert 3 days early.
Right.
But I sure don't want to be there on the day the penny drops. You tell me when it's coming, and I'll make sure not to be there.
David Froom, we're getting a hard wrap. Thank you so much. And once again, his book is The Right Man, The Surprise Presidency of George Bush. Thank you.
Thank you.
And UN observers leaving the border zone between Kuwait and Iraq as UN weapons inspectors get the word they are being ordered out of Baghdad. Stay with us.